Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's FPC Radio Live. It's Thursday, November the 17th, 1 week before Thanksgiving, and we got a pretty big matchup tonight. We got the Packers and the Titans, and it feels like, John, for the first time in a few weeks on a Thursday, we actually have two at least somewhat fascinating teams going against each other. I know the Packers, we've talked about it to great lengths. The Packers, I think their season is over. I think that win last week was nice, but I don't think it did much to save it. And of course, the Titans are, I don't know, what are the Titans? Are they an elite AFC team, or are they just a very good team? We'll probably find that out tonight, because I think both teams are hopefully we're going to get a good game here tonight, John. But that's not where we're going to start. We're going to start over in the National Basketball Association, and your guy, Kevin Durant, and look, I'm going to give you all the credit in the world, John, because you've been on top of this from day one, and you've always, always compared Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers as two of the same type of athletes in terms of their mentality, their ability, and just how they carry themselves. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, everyone can't all be buttoned up and tight-lipped. But we saw a great example of that, or we heard a great example of that yesterday with Kevin Durant essentially calling out the rest of his team as, you know, what they are, a bunch of role players. And the expectation for the Nets to win is greatly influenced by the fact that, yeah, he, Kevin Durant, is on the court, and that's about it. So, John, I first of all, I got to give you credit for, you know, calling out Kevin, not calling him out, but calling out his personality and kind of being on top of this from day one. And two, I just got to get your thoughts on this, because as harsh as it sounds, John, you know what? I see no lies in what Kevin Durant said.
No, I mean, Durant and Rodgers are so similar. Look, Aaron Rodgers is my favorite football player. I love Kevin Durant. He's not LeBron. I don't think he's as great as LeBron as a player. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is as great as Tom Brady. Brady and LeBron are more alike, whereas Rodgers and Durant are very similar in the case that they're not afraid to speak up. At times, they can be passive-aggressive. We know Durant's constantly on social media with burner accounts and fighting with people with 87 followers. I give you credit. You fight with people with 87 followers, but at least you're being you. You don't have any burner accounts. But, yeah, Durant is a marvelously talented player, as is Aaron Rodgers. I think they've underperformed, I would say, a little bit in terms of championships. I mean, Durant's never going to get credit for those two titles in Golden State. He went to a ready-made championship team. Rodgers has the one Super Bowl win, so they haven't measured up to, say, LeBron or Tom Brady. But the similarities is that they're not afraid to speak up. And, you know, at times they get in trouble for doing so. And we've heard Rodgers all year essentially complain about his wide receivers. And he's got a lot of young, inexperienced guys there. He lost one of the best, if not the best receiver in football, in Devontae Adams in the offseason. And he's trying to make good with what he has. Durant now doesn't have Kyrie Irving, who's serving a suspension. I believe he's supposed to come back this weekend. I don't know if he's met
they
with
said
the
maybe
owner
on
of
Sunday.
The Nets. Yeah, he's got to meet with the owner, Joe Tsai, and get everything buttoned up. And you also got Ben Simmons, who appears to not want to play basketball. So those are his two sidekicks. You know, if you're looking for a big three, it's Durant, Kyrie, Ben Simmons. Good luck with that. It's almost like Kevin Durant's house of misfit toys. So, you know, he complained of, like, what do you expect? You know, I'm out here with, you know, role players and guys that, you know, have never scored more than 8 points in an NBA game, and you're expecting us to win. I mean, it's not normally the way you want to carry yourself, but that's the way Durant is. I think he's, you know, probably securing himself to say those things. And then, like you said, he did it kind of a nice way. Wasn't overly aggressive, but that's, again, the passive aggressiveness that we see with Durant and Rodgers. So the Nets are just a middling team in the Eastern Conference right now.
You know what? To be honest with you, though, I think, and, you know, maybe this is just my perception, or maybe it's my personality that I think it's similar, but I feel like Kevin Durant is more human than any other athlete when you think about it, because, like, as much as this is out of the norm in the sports world, I feel like this is how people, normal, everyday people act. So it's like, is it shocking when you see it from a superstar basketball player? And yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of a stark reminder that, you know, these guys are human too. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like they have these emotions, and you know they're going to go on and defend themselves. I'm glad you brought up the fact that I'm constantly on Twitter arguing with people. I don't care how many followers that they have. If I have a point to prove, or if I, you know, get frustrated with their stupidity, I'm not going to drop it. And you know what? Maybe the joke's on me, John. Maybe it is, but. That just means I'm human, and Kevin Durant's got a lot of that. And look, like I said when we started talking about this, there's no lie in what he's saying. And to your point, he's earned this right to do that. And look, you're right, he's always going to get knocked for going to the super team, but we've talked about this before, John, and no one will accept it because, you know, if they want to hate on the Warriors or whatever, or Kevin Durant specifically, the Warriors aren't the Warriors without Kevin Durant. You know, without Kevin Durant, and I know, oh, well, look at last season. Well, okay. you win two championships, what, 4 or 5 years apart, you know, assuming, you know, Kevin Durant's not there or whatever. It's impressive, sure. But Kevin Durant made the Golden State Warriors the Golden State Warriors of what we know them now. And that's not to say that, obviously, Steph Curry wasn't a huge factor and all these other players, but they weren't a super team until Kevin Durant arrived. Does that make, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't believe, like, because...
Well, he put them over the top. He made them unbeatable. Well, they were unbeatable in his 3 years there. The only time they didn't win is he was hurt and Klay Thompson was hurt. Yeah. If those two guys are healthy, they win 3 titles in a row and they go on their merry way. Yeah, I mean, they were still really good before Durant got there. They won a title,
but it was a lot of self.
Seven.
Self. See, I try to make a distinction between, like, I think super teams, quote unquote, or at least how they should be perceived, are the teams that are put together outside the organization. You know what I mean? Bringing in already made talent, creating this super dynamic. Whereas, you know, I'll always give the Warriors credit for essentially building their foundation that led to them winning 73 games. But again, I mean, that would have been impressive in and of itself just to do that, and then obviously have that title the year before. But at the end of the day, they don't win multiple championships without Kevin Durant. They don't become this, like, dominant, like, every season just pencil them in for the NBA Finals because of, you know, Kevin Durant. So I think he's earned that, and I do agree with you. He's never going to get the credit that he probably deserves. And same with Aaron Rodgers, and that's something we've talked about that before. Like, always being compared to Tom Brady. Well, yeah, if he's compared to Tom Brady, he's always going to come up looking disappointing. And he shouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be that. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, Kevin Durant didn't do what LeBron did. Or Kevin Durant, well, or this weird discussion about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors being a bad thing, but LeBron James, you know what I mean, bringing talent together. Like, to me, it's the same thing.
Well, you go a little bit off the rails here, but here's the thing. Durant goes to Golden State. Durant gets criticized, right? Mm-hmm. No one criticizes Steph Curry because Steph Curry is, you know, everybody's favorite player. I'll laugh when I say that. But it's never Curry's fault that he drew in Kevin Durant, right? Mm-hmm. But let's say LeBron was to go to Golden State now, which I don't think would happen. But if he goes to Golden State, he will get criticized. Curry wouldn't get criticized at all. But here's another one. If Durant was to go to the Lakers, which maybe there's a 1% chance that happens, Durant wouldn't get criticized for that. You know who would get criticized for that? LeBron. Because it's the way we look at these players. I also think that Durant kind of is never going to measure up to LeBron the way Rodgers is never going to measure up to Brady. And that's not the end of the world. I mean, there's a second best is still better than everyone else but one, right? You know, so...
Well, that's the problem with how we judge and look at athletes now, or at least these superstar athletes, because it's same in football, same in basketball. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's so hyperbolic, like the discussions. Everything is the greatest this, the greatest that. We've never seen this, we've never seen that. There's no real discussion. Like, if I say, like, look. And again, this is going to get back to Patrick Mahomes because he's kind of the it guy right now. And everyone's like, oh, you know, he's already on pace to be the greatest and this, that, and the other. And it's like, look, I can sit here and say that and have both things be true. That no, there is no such thing as quote unquote goat pace. Patrick Mahomes has had a great start to his career, no doubt about it. It's not hands down the greatest. There's certainly plenty of other arguments for other players. But in the eyes of some fans, primarily a segment of Kansas City fans, everything's the greatest. So if he doesn't live up to that, well, guess what? What are you going to do? Backtrack? You know, I give the like, think of it this way, John, and everyone's like, oh, you know, he's going to shatter these numbers, this, that, and the other, or any quarterback's going to do it. Patrick Mahomes is going to have to play essentially 15 more seasons of what he's doing right now to pass Tom Brady's numbers. That means he has to play until age 41. And I know Tom Brady's done it, but it doesn't mean everyone's going to do it. And that's kind of the thing that's going on with Rodgers now. It's like, just because Tom Brady is playing at 45, and very likely every day that passes, I believe he's going to play longer than this season, doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers playing until 39 is a failure. You know what I'm saying? So you're getting that, and I don't want to get too far off from basketball because we have a couple other things to talk about that. But it's the same thing with Kevin Durant. If he doesn't do exactly what LeBron James does, and in the eyes of how we view things now as fans or journalists or whatever, it's a failure. And I'm not saying us specifically. I'm just saying in general, that's just how it's covered with the debate shows and everything like that. If he fails, i.e. doesn't win X amount of games or whatever, it's a failure and he's not that good, when in reality, he's a great player. So we say all that to say, well, I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant earned the right to say something like that. It's nice. It's refreshing. Whether or not that turns the Nets season around, I'm not going to bank on that. I actually think this is just a going to be a long, drawn-out, horrible season for the Nets. And I'd imagine we're going to see Kevin Durant elsewhere next season. So, anyways, speaking of the Warriors, and we talked about them a little bit, 0-8 on the road to start this season. And this is definitely not the what the fans or the team envisioned after obviously winning the championship last year over the Celtics. How much, you know, what's the panic meter at right now, in your opinion or in your estimation, John? Because you're the basketball expert here. You don't want to see
should be a little. Yeah. You should be a little leery about this. I mean, 0-8 on the road. This is a team that won 2 out of 3 games in the NBA Finals at TD Garden. They've always played, you know, solidly on the road. And the interesting thing is Steph Curry's playing better than ever. I mean, he's playing at a level pretty much like his MVP season. So it's not him. I think that the issue with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole that happened in training camp has carried over. I don't think that's ever good when one player goes over and punches another player. And Poole got a contract extension for in excess of $30 million. Andrew Wiggins got his contract extended in excess of $30 million. And Draymond Green, who's been there longer than anyone but Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, has this year and next year left on his contract, and he's looking for more money. So I think that that's causing some problems. When they had Durant there, they had issues as well. But when you got Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, all in their prime, you know, you could have whatever you want on the roster. It's not going to really have any effect because they're so darn good. The margin for error is less now than it was, say, 4 or 5 years ago, because these guys are older. They're not as good. The league's better. The conference is better. I would be concerned, though. I think at home they're fine. Maybe here's a theory that I've heard out there. On the road, the fact that they're not all getting along impacts them, because you're kind of in each other's face.
That's or a good
trying
point.
To whatever, you know, you're on the road together. If you're not bonding and you're just kind of, you know, being miserable, maybe it affects the court, how you play on the court. Whereas at home, you're home, you're with your family, you drive in 3 hours before the game, you play and you go home.
You've seen the opposite of that be a positive thing, like where teams may be struggling or whatever, and then they have time on the road together and it brings them, you know, I point very specifically, you know, going back over 10 years now, which is crazy, but Boston Bruins, down 0-2. Mm-hmm. They went to, they had a sort of a team retreat, so to speak, you know, in between games 2 and 3, and it was kind of a galvanizing moment. So to your point, you know, if the Warriors are going on the road and that only exacerbates the problem, you know what I mean? Like it mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to translate well on the court, because yeah, Steph Curry may be getting his, but everyone else is standing around trying to get theirs too, and that's not a good thing to have. So from one NBA final team to another NBA final team. This will be the last thing I ask you about basketball, because I do want to talk about the Titans and Packers a little bit. But are the Celtics and Bucks just on a collision course right now in the Eastern Conference? Because, you know, as good as the Celtics' defense was last year, their offense is just astounding this year. And it's kind of a weird flip of strengths when it comes to, I mean, they were a good offensive team last year. No, don't get me wrong, but very clearly that is what's driving their team right now. But 12-3, the Bucks are at 11-3, the only two teams in the Eastern Conference with double digit wins so far this season. I'll go back to the first question. Are they on a collision course in the Eastern Conference?
There's so much basketball left to be played, right? Like, at this point last year, no one thought the Celtics would make it to the NBA Finals. They were a 500 team until January, so things can change, but this team is loaded. As you said, Ian, offensively, they're playing at an extremely high level. They're averaging 1.2 points per possession, which is insane. That's just, you know, record levels for this early in the season. I think there's a few teams in the East that, you know, if they tweak the rosters or just get healthy, that they could certainly be a factor. I picked Cleveland to win the East. I'll stick with that. And look, they beat the Celtics twice earlier in the season, both games in overtime. And I think they match up pretty well with both Cleveland, with both Boston and Milwaukee. So they'd be the third team I'd look out for. But right now, Milwaukee has the best player in the sport in Giannis, and the Celtics have the MVP frontrunner in Jason Tatum and everybody else contributing. So, yeah, at this point, it would look like those two teams are going to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on, of course, where the seedings fall. But I would still keep an eye on Cleveland, although they've played poorly the last couple of weeks. I think they can also be a factor.
You have this obsession with the state of Ohio. You love Ohio. You love the Browns. The Browns last year. You're liking Cleveland this year. You're a big Joe Burrow fan. I think you have a kinship or some sort of attachment to Ohio. No, look,
maybe
you're right. I mean, I said it, 12-3. That's 15 games. That's what, 20% of the season.
Right.
So yeah, there's a long, long time to go. But again, these are two teams that have been in the mix for the last few years. So this isn't a little bit different than, say, you know, two teams that, you know, kind of get off to a surprising hot start that really haven't been there. And you're like, okay, eventually they're going to come back. You know, the things are going to average out. I think for the most part, these two teams are going to be right there, toe in toe the entire season. Which team's going to get the top seed or be the one seed, two seed, or possibly even three seed? That, like you said, there might be another team like the Cavaliers who obviously kind of stay in that mix as well. But yeah, it's fun. It's fascinating to watch, and certainly makes you really look forward to Christmas Day in just over a month, because that's going to be one hell of a matchup if they keep going at this pace.
Yeah.
And hopefully Giannis plays in this one.
Yeah, I think he will. They're keeping an eye on what his workload is, obviously.
Yeah.
And like they do with most every player in the league, except just Jason Tatum, who's played more minutes than any player in the league since the bubble. And then, of course, Christmas Day, you've got the NFL. One of the marquee games will be the Packers at the Dolphins, which could be an interesting game, too. So the NFL decides to drop in on Christmas Day, and the NBA is like, man, that's supposed to be our day. Well, the NFL decides to play games. Good luck.
Yeah, well, we also don't forget about next Thursday, Thanksgiving, when you get the Patriots and the Vikings, the true test of prime time coming up for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings team against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. You never know. So, all right. So, obviously, tonight, though, not next week, we have the Packers and the Titans. I almost said the Vikings. I don't know why. I got my mind on next week and ham and not turkey, by the way. Turkey can go take a lap.
What about chicken?
I'm a big fan of chicken. Don't get me wrong. You can have, look, it doesn't have to be ham on Thanksgiving, okay? It's basically anything but turkey. Because, you know my thoughts on it, and I'll repeat it here just in case anyone hasn't heard it. But I believe, and normally what I believe is true, just putting it out there. I'm very confident in my opinion, let's put it this way. I believe that the only reason people like turkey is because you've been conditioned to like turkey on Thanksgiving, because it's quote-unquote tradition. So that's my opinion. So everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to eat turkey. But I know deep down in the back of your mind, you won't admit it, but you're like, man, I hate turkey. It's dry. It's often poorly cooked. I mean, you have to really, really go above and beyond to make it edible, in my opinion. So deep down, like I said, I feel like everyone's just they're just grinning and bearing eating the turkey. And then especially the ones that want to disagree with me, they'll never admit it, but they're going to be sitting there on Thursday eating turkey saying, like, damn, I wish I had some ham, something better, a little bit more succulent. So but we're not here to talk about that. Not quite yet. Next week, I'll hammer home that point even more. But no, so Thursday night tonight, Titans at 5-3, and then of course the Packers, who are just, I mean, really just fighting for anything at this point. And both of us believe that it's probably too little, too late for the Packers, primarily because, again, they're running away with the division at this point. You know, they have such a huge lead, and obviously the one game win over them. I'm not saying that it's, you know, 100% take the money, you know, put the money on Minnesota, because again, it's Minnesota, so there's always a chance for them to kind of falter down the stretch. But I think the Packers have dug themselves a little too big of a hole, and quite frankly, I just don't think they're good enough, John. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Aaron Rodgers necessarily. It's just I don't think the team around him is good enough. Both of us have been pretty disappointed in the defense. Would you agree? I think we both kind of had bigger expectations for this team defensively, and that really hasn't panned out. But it's still, look, I mean, if the Packers are going to make any sort of attempt at making the playoffs, they really can't lose another game the rest of the season.
Pretty much. I mean, they're 4-6, so if they run the table, they'd be 11-6. That would get them in, certainly, the wild card. I think the division's out of reach. Minnesota's 8-1. Their only loss came against Philadelphia. The Packers also lost to Detroit, which doesn't help their divisional record. They lost to Minnesota earlier. So the wild card's in play. I mean, 9-8 could get you into the wild card. 10-7 probably would get you as a wild card, because, you know, there's a few teams in the NFC that are kind of teetering as well. So, yeah, they can't afford to lose many, if any. I mean, this is a home game, Thursday night. It's going to be 25 degrees. You know, again, Tennessee's a well-coached team. We know they're going to come ready, but I think the Packers have an advantage being at home in the short week and coming off that really big win Sunday over the Cowboys. So slight advantage to Green Bay in this game, and that's why the line is Green Bay 3. But, yeah, they cannot afford more than maybe one more loss if they have any hopes of making the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, this is not an easy matchup. I mean, the thing with Tennessee, though, is you got to stop Derrick Henry. I mean, that's really what it is. And I know it's like, oh, it's much easier said than done. Let's put it this way. But Tennessee at this point, especially without Ryan Tannehill, is basically, in order for them to win, you need Derrick Henry to get like a $150 on the ground and really kind of be that dominant player that he is and has been for much of his career. And can they do that against the Packers? Absolutely. The Packers don't have a good run defense. So, I thought last week's comeback win against the Cowboys, it's very impressive. Very impressive. And, you know what I mean? I think the Cowboys had a very bad game. Dak Prescott in particular. So I'm not trying to take anything away from the Packers, but I almost want to say it was more, the biggest impact in that game was the way the Cowboys played. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. I mean, I think Buffalo impacted the Buffalo-Minnesota game and it allowed Minnesota to win. And I think the same thing happened a few hours later with Dallas in complete control of that game, 28-14 in the fourth quarter. And then from that point forward, they play horrible. And they didn't play great in the first three quarters, but they're talented enough to have a two-touchdown lead going in the fourth quarter, and they weren't able to hold on. So, yeah, I think Dallas just did not play well in the fourth quarter and in overtime. They had four penalties in overtime, which is just – I can't even think that that's possible. You shouldn't get that in a game, let alone just overtime. So, yeah, no, absolutely. And a lot of times we've talked about it over the years. I mean, we talk about it in hockey, right, where a lot of games are lost, not won.
Yeah.
You know, like you just do the right thing and take care of the puck and don't let in any cheap goals, yada, yada, yada. You can win some games. It's kind of like that in football in some sense, right? Like limit the turnovers, the penalties, play decent special teams, and, you know, execute on third down and in the red zone, and you can win. And Dallas didn't do that on Sunday, and they lost.
Yeah. And again, bad interception by Dak Prescott. And, you know, there's so many stats and advanced stats and whatever, but the most important one, and the one I feel that correlates more or less to winning and losing in football, is the turnover battle. If you win, generally, if you win the turnover battle, you are going to win because it's about getting extra possessions. It's not always the case, but more often than not, it's certainly, I think, the biggest advantage to that. So I guess we'll pick this game. So I'll ask you, is Green Bay going to live another week, or are the Titans going to kind of keep their name in the mix for the top seed in the AFC?
I think the Packers will win tonight. Again, this is not being a homer. I've picked them to lose games this year. I'm not impressed with them. Their defense has been faulty. Now they've got a massive amount of injuries on defense, but I think they'll be okay against Derrick Henry. They're a weird team, Green Bay. Like, the top running backs don't run well against them, but guys that you've never heard of put out 140 yards against them. It's just a weird team like that. Like, all of a sudden, they'll have a decent run defense tonight. So I think the Packers have some momentum. They're at home in a short week. It's going to be cold, and hopefully Rodgers continues to trust some of these young wide receivers. And look, Tennessee's got a ton of injuries as well. So I think the Packers will find a way to eke out one at home. Because, again, as bad as they've been this year, they're still 3-1 at Lambeau. I mean, they're still tough to beat there in the regular season, not as much in the postseason. But I think they'll find a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with anything about what you said except for who's going to win. Like, I am going to take the Titans because I do think Derrick Henry is going to have a pretty good game, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Packers won this. I kind of get the feeling that maybe, you know, they have this huge come from behind win, and I think they're going to come out a little flat just on the short week, and I think that's enough to lose this game, because, like, as much as the comeback was impressive last week, I if they fall behind by 14 again, I'm not putting much faith in them coming back. Let's put it that way, because again, this isn't a quarterback issue. It's just I don't think they're good enough to do it consistently. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Like I said, we always say it every Thursday, just give us an entertaining game, you know. Give us some semblance of competent football, and I think we'll all be happy. So thank you everyone for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow to give you our full breakdown of what's going to happen this Sunday, and of course we'll give our picks and everything like that for those games. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will talk to you soon.